this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This, I am your host, Celia Behar. No, I am your host, Jody Sweeten, along with the fabulous Ish.
Really? Yeah, I was like, Ish, yeah, Celia Behar, that's me. I'm her.
That would be you.
I know.
That would be you, and I would be me.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just trying to add some spice into the opening because it's always just notoriously terrible.
That was that was not as spicy as it could have been, I guess, but it's all right.
Well,
it's
look, right. I don't want to
tobacco soft up
in the first sentence and be like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've got to lead up into that. Warm up into the profanity. What? Before we get too inappropriate, let's introduce our fabulous guest for the day and drag her along with us. We have the amazing Kat Dealey with us here today. Kat, yay!
Hey, I was doing this weird silent laugh thing because I wasn't sure whether I was allowed to laugh until you introduced me. So I was doing this.
Oh, please, always silent laugh. Always laugh. Okay, we love disembodied laughs. You know, where people are like, is that a third person? What's happening? Yeah.
It's like, what's going on there? Who's they invited in? Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, I was laughing. Because of so many of my girlfriends, I'm exactly the same with too. Isn't it brilliant when you've got nice girlfriends like that?
It's so wonderful.
Thank God.
And, you know, Celia and I really bonded through a mom's group and over our daughters who are the same age. So let's give all of our parenting stats. I mean, most of our listeners know, but you know, there might be one or two new people in addition to the original seven that are still listening to this podcast.
No, my mom's listening now too.
Oh, good. My mom. Awesome. It's amazing.
Maybe my mom listens, but probably
your mom is certain. Your mom's Bonbon. We know you're listening. Maybe. Bonbon in Israel. We know you're listening.
And then if she is, I'm going to get 900 weird texts that don't mean anything in a few minutes. So that'd be awesome.
And then you're going to share.
Brilliant.
Mom stats real quick. I have two girls, Zoe and Beatrix. Zoe is 12 and B is 10, seventh and fifth grade. Wow. So it's all going swimmingly over here.
I also have two girls over here. I've got Harper. She just turned 14 and, that's a lot in a pandemic, I will say, to be a teenager right now. And then I have Lulu and she is 9 and, she's interesting.
It's just a lot to be Lulu on any day.
Yes, it's a lot to be Lulu on any day. That's
awesome. Listen, she's so good. You named her twice, Lulu. She's like that. She's that big.
Yes, and she's really, and honestly, her name is Luna, but we call her Lulu, and it could not be more fitting.
Just a little outer space child.
Yeah.
Out there. By the way, Kat, so our daughters are really good friends. Our two older ones and our two younger ones. Our two younger ones in particular are cut from the same cloth. Very interesting little
creatures.
Beans. Yes. Yeah.
Little beans. But Kat, give us your mom stats. What do you have going
on? I have two boys. So you guys both have two girls, but I have two boys. I have Milo, who is 4. And I have James, who is 2. So I am right in the eye of the storm in terms of, we've also just changed times here in London. So that whole thing where it's like, it's only an hour. It doesn't matter.
Right. We're doing that this week. We did that this weekend, I believe.
Is it this weekend? I was going to ask you because I don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
We fall backwards still. But there is that whole thing where an hour, if you're getting up at 6:15 on a regular, an hour makes a massive amount of difference. And I think yesterday was, you know, they talk about the longest day. Yesterday was the longest day. Yeah. And I got through it with steak and wine, essentially. to my other girlfriend. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, adding an extra hour in COVID time is like adding 5 years to your day.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like each day, each hour that's added is a year of my life. It's like that's the life sucking thing from Princess Bride. Like you just turn it up a little bit and it sucks away, you know, 10 years of your life. That's what I feel like.
Yep.
Totally. Absolutely. It's dog years. But it's that weird thing where I feel like because mine is smaller, I'm still okay. Yes, there is a lot of like, you know, waking up in the night and doing all that kind of stuff. But I don't have to deal with, like, even with the homeschooling stuff, it's, you know, it's addition, it's subtraction.
It's preschool, it's not, right.
It's
right.
Number bond.
Biology, which is what has happened.
Exactly. It's not Latin and algebra. So I feel like if I can teach him to ride a bike and teach him to read, I'm all good. Yeah. And I feel like I'm kind of patting myself on the back and high-fiving myself in the air. But if I actually had to do the other stuff, I think I'd be awful at it. I don't know how you guys are coping.
We're awful at it.
We're not. We're not coping. It's really, at all. Not well. No. I mean, not well. That's for sure.
Terrible.
No, it's gotten a little bit better. You know, we were just talking about sort of quarantine and all of that. And now, Kat, you, for people that don't know, you're in the UK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in London.
Yes. So, you know, we were just talking about the pandemic and, you know, how it's affecting different countries and, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. So it's been, it's been an interesting ride.
Listen, it's equally crazy, I think, for us guys here as it has been for you guys there. So essentially what happened was Milo started his new school in January here. And what we were trying to do was just flip everything around. So we based here so the kids could go to school and see all their family and their cousins and everybody else, the village it takes to raise small people. And then and then I could fly back there for work. And what was brilliant is because I was doing So You Think You Can Dance, which is live every week, but it's during the summertime, so it would fit in perfectly with their holidays. Right. And then anything else that I took work-wise, aside from that, it was like, okay, well, how can I squeeze as many episodes into a shorter period of time as possible? As we all do, we're all juggling like crazy. And so I then flew back to the States, back to LA in, I think it was March, beginning of March, to go and shoot a new show for Disney. We're in the middle of it. And then obviously with the kids being, and my husband being over here in Europe, we were kind of peaking before you guys were over there. Yeah. So I was watching everything that was going on at home at the same time as trying to juggle doing a brand new show over there as well. And I said to myself, oh my God, this is going to be a disaster. Because I'm going to have to turn around and say, I've got to go because they're not going to let me back into the country. Because at that stage, we didn't know what anything was or how it was going
to
work.
Here's the great thing. None of it turned out to be a disaster at all. It's going so well. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Here we are thinking everything's going to go terrible. And no, look where we are now. Yeah. Just in the middle of the shit, you know. Yeah. Great.
As far as I can see, I can just see rainbows and unicorns and puppies and ice cream as far as I can see. I don't know about you guys. Yeah,
I mean,
enjoy.
Maybe a lychee martini as well in the distance, but that's about it.
Right. So no, yeah, Celia may be drunk right now, actually.
You know, I'm not. I did take a gummy last night. I will say I don't know that it's totally out of my system, so I might be slightly high, but I'm not drunk. So there's that. Yeah,
you know what? I mean, just you got to do what you got to do. It is it's the World Series here too, and Celia is a huge baseball fan. Yeah. So,
oh yes, of course.
Although I feel like you know, it's not the World Series; it's the American Series. Like it's
I know it never made any sense.
Well, it's a bit like calling Donald Trump the leader of the free world.
Well, he thinks
right. Well, that's, I mean, the irony and in that is just unreal.
That's what he's hoping for. Yeah, in the pandemic, as we move toward an election over here, which, you know, is a whole other fucking thing.
Okay, well, what's going to happen with the election? What's going to happen?
This episode's going to probably air after the election.
Yeah.
So just listen to the joy in our voices now, because
we might be living with Kat after this election. We'll be living with Kat in the UK. Yes. You know, if it doesn't go the way we want.
We'll all be moving over there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be our new podcast.
Right.
Come be in my bubble. You can be in my bubble, gal.
Fantastic.
Come enjoy my bubble.
The bubbles are hot. Anyway, go ahead, Jody. I don't even remember. I think that you know that I am a very, very firm believer in knowing your body. Well,
I'm also a firm believer in knowledge is power when it comes to your body. And the more you know, the better decisions that you can make for your body and your health and your future. And as moms, we know that there really aren't many decisions bigger than having a baby.
I don't think there's very many. No, I think that's definitely at the top of the list.
Well, and you know, for many women and myself included, fertility can be a really big question mark. It was certainly for me with my second. And, you know, I wish that something like modern fertility existed then, because it is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Literally, this is a test that was created that's easy and affordable, and you can test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Then you mail it in with a prepaid label, and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days. I mean,
wow.
I wish this existed so badly when I had secondary infertility, because, you know, traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000, but modern fertility only costs $159 to get the same information. And if you go to modernfertility.com/say this, then you can get $20 off of your test. I mean, come on. Oh, also, if you have an HSA or an FSA with your job, you can use those dollars on modern fertility. It covers it. That's incredible to me.
That's great.
Yeah, you get insight into how many eggs you have, hormone levels, and other fertility factors. And the results go deep into what every hormone means. And you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for your next steps. I can't tell you how much I wish that I had this. It was so overwhelming for me to try to figure out what the numbers meant. Honestly, as I get older, I think that my hormone health is still that important, and I'm curious and sort of want to try it, even though, you know, I'm not going to have any more kids anytime soon or ever. But if you want kids today or maybe one day in the future, then you need information to make the best decision for you. So right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/say this. That means that your test will be $139 instead of the hundreds or even thousands it could cost you at your doctor's office. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/say this. One more time, that's modernfertility.com/say this.
Do you think if any of our listeners get pregnant from this ad, that they'll name one of their babies Never Thought I'd Say This? First of all, I was going to say, I am a huge fan of So You Think You Can Dance.
Such a good show.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. So amazing. And I have cried to that show on many occasions because of just the amazing stories and the, you know, the dance and what it brings. And it's just so beautiful. So I just want to say I'm a huge fan of yours, and you were always so wonderful. So wonderful as a host.
And you're like, so nice.
You know what? Celia doesn't know what that's like to be nice. So
I look at it and I'm like, oh, look at you. I mean, it's yeah. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, nice. Why can't you be more like Kat, Celia?
Well, I should try.
But the reason is, Jodie, is because I am a huge fan of that show too. You know when you do a show and you're on it and you like it, and like, I'm actually a huge fan of that show. Like, I think there is something very so dancers are a very peculiar breed in this day and age, because essentially nobody becomes a dancer to be rich or famous ever.
Decidedly not
what ever happens. Right, because I could say to you, name me 10 famous dancers, and you'd be able to do it with a bit of work. But if I said, name me 10 famous singers, you could do it like that, right? So they're not doing it to be famous. They're normally, their career is so short. They are always the people that are injured. They are always the people that are underpaid, underappreciated, overworked. They are, right. they are never the person in the spotlight. And yet for some reason, they have to dance. And the only reason they have to do it is because they can't imagine their life not doing it.
Right.
So to me, in this day and age that we live in with, you know, sex tapes and this and that and the right. other and people fighting and saying like and just doing anything to create noise.
Right.
To me, there is something incredibly admirable about it. And I admire them immensely. And I watch what they can do. And it's through years and years and years of training. And I've seen kids like dance on broken ankles and split feet. Oh, and it's God. Just mm-hmm. because their hearts are going to explode if they don't do it. And I think there is something really joyous to be celebrated about that in this yeah. time. And the very fact it's on primetime Fox is completely blows my mind too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, and it's hugely successful. I mean, I have several friends who have choreographed on their...
Who are your
Caspery?
Yes,
was oh. one of he was oh. my dance teacher's younger brother. I went to Studio C when I was young, yeah. which was his family's dance studio, and his older yeah. brother Dennis was my dance teacher and did a lot yeah. of the choreography on Full House.
Yes,
with my,
yeah, yeah,
with show, my yeah. girls, like my little troop of girls that I danced with for recitals and you know and all that stuff when I wasn't working. But Dee, Tiana Lufau, who did some of the Polynesian yes. dance, Tiana and I went to, high school together and, you know, just, it's, I mean, I've had friends that have judged on it and everything. I mean, it's just, it's such a wonderful show. And as and somebody who grew up loving dance, it yeah. makes me so, you know, and I've had friends that have made it through it. Twitch, obviously now everyone knows
is
Twitch.
Is he the most gorgeous?
I love Steven. I've known him for a long time. And of course his wife, Allison, our daughters are yep. friends now.
Their TikToks and their Instagrams are the cutest things ever. They all do like yes. fancy dances and stuff.
I know, I love it. I love it.
Love it.
It's the key. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I and what's so, and I think hopefully what you've also got back from all of the people that you know is what it feels like to be a somebody. It's like being part of a family, yeah. and it really is. Like all the kids come back. I call them kids because yeah. when they start,
but
they're not like, anymore.
Right,
right.
Well, rarely do you see a 30-year-old dancer starting on. You know what I mean? It's.
Really? Because I was gonna change my profession to you don't
Celia,
think
I've seen you dance. Don't do it.
Honestly, I'm like as I'm listening to you talk about dance, I'm like, I can't because I know you dance, Jody. Also, I am the worst fucking dancer to the point where I was a theater major in college and I was going for a dance minor. So I've danced forever. No shit. My mom made me really. I don't know why. Me and my Israel in a tutu, whole thing, not good. I probably have pictures. Anyway, I got pulled in by the head of the dance department in my college and with my advisor. And they were like, so we were just looking at your transcript and it kind of looks like you're going for a dance minor. And I was like, yeah, I am. And they were don't do that.
Don't even. You're sorry. Maybe wow. take it as a PE class. But
yeah, they're
really,
like
please,
great
don't.
For exercise.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, don't put our name on
that's
whatever
on my
doing.
Resume. Yep, they're like, yeah. do not go into your city with dance minor from you know Ithaca College. That we're not. Please don't do that. And well, I was like,
and now we've danced on many alive, and so now
I think people know
in Ithaca
why.
College, yes. That's what yeah. your dance minor does.
That's right. That's right. It's me spanking my butt in overalls. That's really listen, my signature yeah, move.
And I'm totally the same as you. So everybody always says to me, can you dance? And I'm like, no, of course I can't dance. I'm literally like, I love going out with my gay friends. And like with a wind machine and they can dance around me and
well,
I can do a half.
Anyone's
and
great
then
with
I'm
a wind
dead.
Machine. I, you know, I just... Like
agreed.
To have one in my hand ready at all times so I can, you know, make myself look better with a dramatic wind blow.
You feel like Beyonce a little bit at that point.
A very tiny fraction of Beyonce, because I think she's probably got more talent in her big toe.
I mean,
and that's okay. She's fucking Beyonce. So,
yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, I have the big, like, I don't know how she does it. You know, when you watch that documentary about her. Doing the show and like having the twins at the same time.
I mean, that's the thing is like, I mean, here's to moms.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
J-Lo, Beyonce, us. I mean, it's really like, I feel like that's what people are looking at is they're like, how do these women do it? Oh my God. I mean,
look at we've all probably had to wear those breast pads every once in a while and go to work, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm wearing one right now.
Just because.
Comfort.
Yeah. Wait, do you know that I used to drive to work, and I don't know if I've told the story on the show, and if I have, I'm sorry, but I used to drive to work and pump it in my car at the same time because it would plug into my car, and I would leave my house. Yeah, no shit. I used to do it. I would leave my house so early and like on the way to the gym, and I'd have my boobs and suction cups and that noise of the pump, you know? And one day I had that happen, and a fucking cop pulled me over, and there was like, no way. Yeah, there was no way to unattach
right,
it before, because like milk's coming out,
and I'm like, hands on the wheel. Sorry, sir.
I just stared at it, and the poor cop like comes, he like, knocks on the window, and I like lower the window. I just kind of look at him. He looks, he sees what's going on. He's like, oh my God, like can't look at me. And I'm like, I said, I don't think I was speeding. He was like, nope. No, you weren't. I said, okay, well, what did I, like, what's wrong? And he just, like, half starts laughing. And he's like, your headlight's out.
Not that headlight, but your actual view.
My actual headlight. I was like,
You're like, my headlight's out. Oh, yeah, no.
I was like, I'm sorry. And I said, you know, you're going to give me a ticket? He's like, no. Like, just go, just fix it, and just go. Right. Like, clearly he wants to, like,
you, leave his eyes out. Just you and all of your headlights, please leave.
Like, all the milk shooting into the, whatever's happening in here, I don't want a part of it. Yep.
Right. Here's the best question, though. Did you leave the pump running? Was it during the whole conversation, just going?
Yep. Completely on the whole time. Well, if I turned it off, you know, you turn it off, it loses suction, then it falls
off. That's true, and then it can fall out, and then you spill the liquid gold.
I would have sprayed him with milk. I mean, this is not something that you want to do. Like,
I mean, it's a way to get out of a ticket.
I should just keep a pump in my car now and still do it. And then if I ever get pulled over, pretend. No, he'd be like, look at that big gray streak in your hair. Who are you fucking kidding? You are not nursing anything anymore.
Like, I am a wet nurse. That's what I do.
Oh,
you're nursing a fucking
piglet.
That's it.
Piglet in the front. No, I had a similar one where I think I just had Milo, and I had to go on the road for dance. And so, and I was like, I am not going to pump and throw all of this away. So my husband went on the internet and was literally like, okay, transporting breast milk through an airport and a breast pump. And so I had a similar thing where I had to go through security, and the guy was like, okay, miss, can you open your case, please? And I opened it up, and it was like the full industrial strength.
Right. Like, with the tubes and the thing, and they're like, oh my God, are you gonna blow something up? You're like, just totally. No, just my tits.
He literally went like this and went, you can go. just
I have a friend who's a sex toy distributor.
Right.
And so whenever she goes through an airport with her carry-on to, you know, a different convention or whatever, they always have the same reaction. They're like, can you open your, and she opens it up, and they're like, okay. That's just a lot of vibrators and dildos. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And then when I got to, I think I was going to New York or something, I said to, because I have a bodyguard there, because I have to go out in the street and meet everybody and do the whole thing. We don't know what anybody's background is at that point. And so I said, Ralph, you have to get me a fridge for my breast milk. You've got it, like, he's got like a headset in with a curly wire, and he's being like all
very official,
and testosterone.
Yeah.
Like, and if anybody touches it, he's like, they're dead.
All of them. Yep.
Because as you said, liquid gold.
It is.
Yeah. It is. Once my mother-in-law threw out a whole fucking bottle of it because she said it smelled a little weird. So she thought it went bad. And I was like, no, First of all, it doesn't fucking go bad. It may have just been bad in me because I'm rotten on the inside. I mean, I have no fucking idea, but like, don't.
I'm actually, right. Grow
out.
Yeah, it treats you like the Prince of Denmark.
Right, yeah.
That's good. See, being a mom is so fucking crazy. And I feel like if we still have male listeners, so probably like peace out on this fucking conversation. But they don't get like, you know, you don't, they don't, I think people don't necessarily know. And as you were actually describing, like, you know, what the dancers go through and how they're unseen and they do all these things, I was like, you could use that same description for so many moms out there. Like, we just do so much behind the scenes and people don't know.
And destroy our bodies in the process.
Yeah, and exactly.
Right.
Like, good God, the shelf that I have in my stomach above my C-section scar, that's what I call it, my fucking shelf. What is that? Does that ever go away? Can someone tell me? Some listener tell me.
First of all, see, I'm okay with mine still because I'm resting my small people on it.
Right. Yes, see,
that shelf is quite good also, right now, but does it never go away?
I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm 9 years out. I still have like a ridge that happens over my.
You birthed babies.
Well, I know.
Your stomach expanded to a giant size with a human being in you.
Uh-huh.
And you're now back to doing yoga and headstands and all that. So fuck off with your shelf.
I could also balance like a chapstick in my offer if I had it.
Enter a talent show. I don't know. I mean, use that dance. Shit. What? Start an Instagram account. Chapstick balancer, you know, 2020. I don't know. Something. But like, work it. Get you fucking paid postings. You could get sponsored by Chapstick with that and never need Chapstick again in your life.
Oh my God.
I'm saying,
that's
Celia,
amazing.
Look at this as an opportunity.
Maybe
Chapstick. You could be lubricated for life.
Yeah.
With your impending menopause, that may be very, very important.
Seriously.
Right?
I'm fucking old. You guys.
How old are you guys?
I'm 47. Fucking 47.
Maybe. I'm 38.
Yeah, she's 38.
Oh, I'm fucking 44. It's my birthday on the 23rd.
Happy belated birthday. Did you do anything fun?
Belated or early?
Well, I just kind of, I hung out, ate cake, drank champagne, and then the next day I actually went to, there's this spa in London where they only let three people in at a time, and I went there with two girlfriends, and it was... To not hear the words, it's so funny because
mama,
boys. I don't understand how people deal with boys. We've talked about this before on the show. I'm fascinated by it. My sister had two boys, and I think my older sister has like five, but I don't know because I've lost track because she has 10 children. But you know, but I don't understand. Like, and you're right at the age I would think, and I know we haven't even asked you what your never thought I'd say this is, but. I mean,
we're a half an hour in. Why have a theme?
Well, our theme is that we don't fucking have one. Right. Yeah, I don't understand. I feel like your four-year-old is like right at that stage, at least from my memories of Nanny, was like when they're like in the bath and they just can't not touch their penis. Like it becomes like an accordion. They're just all about it. Not yet.
That goes away. That never goes away. Okay, so needless to say, we are all in our own versions of homeschool nightmares. I think for a lot of us, right?
Oh, yes.
Regardless of if kids are preschool aged or, you know, young elementary school, middle school, high school, it's not exactly easy right now. It's kind of difficult. So I am all about trying to find apps that are great for parents and kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want your kids to be involved in learning and to be excited about it. Well, I want to tell everybody about Homer Learn and Grow, which is a part of Homer's Essential Early Learning program that builds skills for both school and life.
Okay.
It takes kids on a personalized journey, which is so much fun because they can pick the characters that they like. If they're into, you know, Little Red Riding Hood or Angelina Ballerina or whatever it is, moving up even through older kids. It's just perfect for kids age 2 to 8. And it makes it really easy for parents to help adjust to this new normal of distance and hybrid learning.
Yeah.
So it's personalized, like I said. So all of the activities are personalized by your child's skill level, their age, their interests, all of that kind of stuff. And they're playful learning activities. So it's not boring, you know, drills and memorization and all that kind of stuff. They also have not only just reading, but also things like reading, math, social, emotional learning, creativity, and thinking skills. So it really helps kind of balance and round out, you know, what kids are supposed to be learning, especially from ages 2 to 8.
Oh, I love that. And wait, is this the one that you've told me about? Is this the ad-free one? Because I really like that right now.
Ad-free. Yes, it is ad-free, safe, and easy to use. It's love got it. Super kid-friendly navigation. And instead of scrolling through, you know, YouTube, which I know my kids do or whatever, it'll keep your kid engaged with educational content and activities that they actually want to do, which means while they're engaged and doing something educational and learning based, you can be working from home or drinking a cup of coffee that's actually hot, you know, whatever.
Showering, you know.
Right. Sure. The great thing about Homer too is that it is research-backed. It's expert-designed, proprietary framework is totally research-backed and kid-tested so that it helps in just 15 minutes a day increase reading scores by 74%. That is actual results. And I know that we're all looking for actual results in home learning right now.
Oh God, yeah.
So it's just, it's really great. It's got up to four customizable profiles included with each membership. So you can have up to four kids on there that each have their own age, skills, interests, all of that. There's love tons, that. I mean, hundreds of stories and characters that your kid will love. All kinds of stuff. Thomas the Train. Oh, when Zoe was 3, she was obsessed with Thomas the Train and would have loved to be educated by Thomas the Train.
Yeah, right?
Plus, their activity center has resources for parents like printables, videos, offline activities, all kinds of stuff. It's really everything you need for some home learning right now. Home distance learning that's safe, that's effectual, and that your kids are actually going to like. So, with that being said, if our listeners want to check out Homer for themselves, visit learnwithhomer, that's HOMER.com/say this to start a free 60-day trial. And I guarantee you're going to like it for longer than 60 days. So again, visit learnwithhomer.com/say this to start your free 60-day trial. And that's Homer, HOMER. Because we're all at home.
Do you think Thomas the Train might maybe make me a hot cup of coffee while I get a shower?
I don't think this app does that.
No. Well, it does everything else. It's fine.
Last night, I actually had, and this is absolutely the God's honest truth, Mom, are you going to die?
Ah!
Four in the bath, and I was like, and I'm like, I'm not gonna lie. So right. Yes, I am. But you know, I've still got my mom right now. Grandma is my mama, and you get to hang out for a really long amount of time, and you carry the person with you in your heart, so they never go away. And you know, I can't say I'm going to love you for the rest of your life, but I can say that I'm going to be here 100% for the rest of mine. And it was like, but it was like this weird, and I don't know where it came from. It wasn't like he'd been watching The Lion King or something like that. It was literally just like he had this moment and he's quite sensitive. And I was like, how did you guys deal with that?
Oh, much nicer than I was, I think.
Celia was probably like, I mean, I'm going to be here for a very long time, or I'm going to get hit by a bus tomorrow. Who knows?
Yeah, it's fine. Get over it.
Really brings some comfort. And just, you know, who cares?
Yeah,
it's fine. Nihilistic attitude to it.
Everything's fine. Yeah.
Everything's fine. It's great. My older one and my younger daughter are just very different personalities. Older one handled it, I think, a little bit more realistically, like a little more like she can, and she, you know, I'm trying to remember even having the conversation then.
Did they must have asked you though, right? Because we would never,
normal. It's
they will ask.
Because around that age, like preschool stuff, they start learning about like, okay, animals die. Everything die, you know?
Yeah.
And it's never an easy conversation. But My older one, I think, handled it a little better. My younger one is just very, very sensitive and worries a lot. And mm-hmm. so I think I remember her being a little more freaked out by it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and even now, like my, you know, my parents are getting older. My dad just turned 86. Mm. He's quite a bit older. So they, every once in a while, it'll hit them like that, where they'll yeah. realize like, oh, so-and-so yeah. is really old. Like yeah. you know, Celia. But no.
Fuck you.
Can we throw something at her? Is it anything we can do right now?
I live a couple blocks away from her. I'll just drive over and hit her later. But like, yeah, what?
If my car is egged,
fine, get the her in the shins or do something.
You know, it's funny. My older one, when I was pregnant with Lulu, we had to put one of our cats to sleep. And mm-hmm. my older one was around for that. And, you know, she wanted to see the body and everything. And that's actually like a really good way to introduce a kid to what yes. death is like losing a pet. But I do remember, like, I brought the cat, I took her in, the cat, and we had to put her down, and I brought her back. And, you know, I said to Harper, we're going to go bury, you know, Chloe now. Do you want to come out there? And she said, well, I'd like to see her, which I actually wanted her to do, because I wanted her to understand that Chloe wasn't in there anymore. It was just a shell. She's gone. And yeah. she goes, I want to see her, but mommy. And I said, yeah. She goes, will she still have a head?
You're like, do you think I don't know. Can
take her to the kitty guillotine? Like, I was like, right. yeah. Like, it was, but she always understood.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, she did when I left her. If she doesn't want yeah. to go back out there, then that's a whole other fucking issue.
I love you know, it. It's so revolutionary France.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's very,
it's
yeah, yeah.
But
she had cake and then that was it.
Yeah, then it was fine. It's in, right. but you know what's interesting is Harper's always had a pretty, like, conscious idea of death, and so she understood because she'd seen me, you know, Chloe die.
I remember yeah. now, I took when my grandmother passed, mm-hmm. Zoe was 4 or 5, and
with my life,
and she yeah. You know, my grandmother was 92 when she passed, so she was quite a bit older, mm-hmm. but she had been around the girls. I would take my girls over with my mom to go visit my grandmother and stuff, and
yeah,
and I decided to take her to the funeral,
mm-hmm. yeah.
my grandmother's funeral. Yeah. And I remember her, I think her dad was a little upset about it, but I remember saying like, look, this is, I mean, we used life. To lay grandma out on the dining room table. It's, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I mean,
right.
Yeah.
It's a natural, we have to, you know, and for me, I think the more we like take away that hiding of it from children, yeah. you know, it's yeah. important. And I think, you know, sort of tying this back into what's happening in the world right now with the pandemic and with all of that, you know, it's, I think it's important to talk to kids about stuff like that. Like it's not fun. It's not a fun realization. It's, you know, everyone has an existential dread of like, you know, oh my God, I'm not going to exist anymore.
Yeah.
But I think it's something as humans that we all have to kind of process through. And I think sometimes we do a real disservice at trying to hide our children from death. And from the reality of it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, but and also isn't the idea of it that, oh my goodness, we're so lucky to be alive and be able to see things and the leaves falling from the trees and the blue sky and like all of those things then suddenly become, they put so much value on it if you feel like you're so lucky to be here. And I think it's really important to understand, you know, what you have in the world and how lucky you are and your health and being around. I think that's an intrinsic part of growing up, you know, otherwise how on earth can you appreciate being here? If you just think you're going to be here forever and you're completely indestructible, then what makes you enjoy things?
Yeah, right. I mean, I've tried really hard with my kids and you know, you probably don't know this, Kat, but my sister actually died. God, now it's almost 3 years, I guess.
Uh-huh. Jesus.
And she had four children, and uh-huh. one of them baby. I mean, now he's, you know, almost 3 years. I guess he is 3.
Oh my goodness.
And, yeah, and the old, and then there were the older ones, and they ranged in age at that time from 17, 14, and 11. At that point,
oh,
and
they need them more.
Yeah, and it was, you know. And I was the one that actually had to go and talk to them when it was time for hospice and say, listen, like, this is what comes next, which was you know, it's so weird to explain it because I know it sounds terrible, and it was terrible. And also it was it was really beautiful because we had this moment, the, you know, me and the kids, and we all talk about it still. And they knew what to do. Like, it was, they were weirdly lucky in the sense that some people lose somebody in an instant. They don't get to say goodbye. And they got to go in, you know, one by one the night that she died and say goodbye to her. And they were very aware that, you know, this was it for the most part. They were pretty sure she wasn't going to be there in the morning. She was not. And I think what I've done with, you know, with them, with my kids, and we, you know, her and I, her kids and me talk about it a lot, is that, you know, when your death isn't as, it's not scary. It doesn't need to be scary. It's just, we don't know what it is. Like, it's the unknown of not knowing what happens after, if there's an after, anything like that. But, you know, if you've ever been with somebody, you know, when they died, and now I have been, I will tell you that it was not scary. It was sad. It broke my heart. But I felt her go. I saw things. I know people are like, make fun of me, but I swear to God, like, I saw something leave. Like, I really put my finger on it. It wasn't scary. Like, it was beautiful in a very, you know, I guess undescribable
sad way.
Well, it's owning that piece of our humanity, which is, you know, we are born and we die. And Celia, I just want you to know that when you do pass, I'm going to do a full weekend at Bernie's tour with you.
Okay.
So we're gonna go on,
take her body on a speedboat.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know about a speedboat, but definitely like some sort of a, you know, vintage convertible, like Thelma Louise. I'm just going to tie a little scarf around your head, put sunglasses on you.
Yeah, I'm totally in. Can you maybe figure out if there's a way to like make me into sort of like a marionette, and then maybe I can finally be on?
If you don't think that's exactly what I had pictured in my head.
Love it.
You know me. I'm your best friend.
The great thing is she just mentioned Thelma and Louise, so she will be calling Brad Pitt. You know, just if there's a tag on your toe,
right?
You know,
I mean,
It's like,
but make the tag sparkly, like, is as exactly. an accessory.
I'm gonna you're decorate welcome. The shit out of you. It's gonna be
your welcome. Sweet.
Yeah, thank you, Kat. Thank you.
I'd like to be bedazzled. Is that get a bedazzler?
Hold on, fully bedazzled,
everywhere. Yeah, fully.
You're gonna look like a goddamn Fabergé egg.
Yeah, bedazzled.
Exactly.
Bedazzled. In fact, when you drive me around in the convertible, please put me upside down so it's just my bedazzled vagina.
Oh, I'm gonna get. Yeah, there's gonna be a plug and everything. It's gonna be gorgeous.
Thank God you got us out.
But you have to do because you can't. I mean, you know, the body, it starts, things start falling out, so you got to do that anyway.
Right. Sew it up. Just sew everything up.
Kat, by the way, this is how I handle appropriate conversations and serious things, is I just make a joke about it. Because,
by the way, we absolutely just went there. We did.
We did. Drove us in that little vintage convertible over the cliff.
Yeah.
Right over the cliff.
We literally held onto your hand and went, let's not stop.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's, I mean.
We'll go there. It's really, I mean, fuck it. You know?
I mean, who knew? You know, death and dying with Kat Dealey. That's.
And bejazzling. Death, dying, and bejazzling.
Death, dying, and bejazzling. And Emily, there's the episode title.
There you go. Death, dying, and bejazzling, Kat Dealey. I think that's kind of perfect. Wait, Kat, before we forget or get distracted by more, you know, I don't know, bejazzling of a fucking...
By more serious, in-depth conversation.
Yeah, or anything like that. You have a children's book, right?
I do.
I mean, I don't think it's about jazzling. I hope it's not, because that's...
Celia, that was almost as good as one of my segues.
I had nothing.
From point X to point see.
Wait, Emily just wrote in the thing.
Weirdly,
Emily just said she made my job so easy because we gave her that title. And then I did that horrible fucking move over. And so she's probably going to be like, all right, well, that was bullshit. Right. Like,
I rescind that comment.
Fucking soon. Yeah. Well, I don't think your fucking book is about, you know, vajazzling or anything, but I do know that children's book out. I mean, at least I knew fucking something. I can't dance, but.
Yeah.
I'm taking your advice about something, Jody.
For once? Wow. I'm impressed.
For once, yes. I am checking out Jonas Paul Eyewear for Harper.
Yes. Yes, we've been talking about them. I think that's an excellent idea.
Well, I love them. And I love the story of them, like you've said before. You know, they're founded by Ben and Laura Harrison when their son Jonas was born. And he was nearly blind when he was born. And that was obviously really unexpected for them. And it's nothing that a parent can prepare for. But it gave them a window into the world of blindness. And, right. You know, I just think for parents, you know, we're never really sure what's coming our way. And I just love that they, you know, didn't let the visual impairment of their son dampen their spirits in any way whatsoever. And instead, they used that as a challenge to fuel and launch Jonas Paul Eyewear, which now specializes in glasses for kids and teens ages 4 to 16. I love that. And I love that their mission is that they want to help kids feel beautiful and confident in their glasses. Harper is, you know, a teenager. She really cares about what she looks like. And honestly, in today's classes on Zoom, you know, she's right up in the camera. So
yeah,
she really wants her glasses to look great. I'm excited. And what I'm really excited about is that it's so convenient. All I had to do was order a home try-on kit, and she's going to be able to try on glasses in our house, 7 frames for 7 days, and it's just $1. Like,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All know as a parent, there's nothing worse than buying your kids something that they say is fine, and then like 3 days later, they're like, it feels funny. I don't like it.
And I don't have to take her to the doctor and push and pressure her to purchase something like right then, like pick something. I really want her to be able to do this. And then she can, you know, test out the glasses. We can order them online and it's all safe and clean. And I get to be sitting on my butt on my couch. What? That's perfect. I mean, come on. Oh, and get this, prescription glasses, which Harper needs, they start at $79. That's including prescription lenses. I mean,
that's excellent. It's especially for kids' glasses.
Yeah. I mean, because she's going to outgrow them as we all do. And on top of that, they've got blue light glasses available, prescription and non-prescription blue light blocking glasses, which I feel like we all need because, you know, we're all staring at screens, but I really do worry about my kids' eyes right now. It's a lot. They're always on something, I think, you know, class, the Tic Tac, as I'm calling it now.
Well, now they can try on all the glasses they want at home, and I can't wait to see Harper's new glasses.
I am so excited. And if anyone out there wants to try them, and they should, they just have to visit jonaspauleyewear.com/neverthought. They get an early start on their Black Friday sale right now. They can save up to 30% off of their next purchase. You can too. So again, visit jonaspauleyewear.com/neverthought and get an early start on their Black Friday sale and save up to 30% off your next purchase.
So yes, I wrote a children's book.
Awesome.
The idea is just like any mom at the end of the day, it's almost this exact conversation that we just had before. It's like at the end of the day, I'm absolutely shattered. I can barely string a sentence together. I'm completely inarticulate. And it's like, okay, what do I want to tell my children when I can't find the words? And so that was the idea behind the book. It was like when you come to do bedtime stories, and I don't know about you guys, if you can, if you remember back to that, but you know that thing where you've got your pajamas on and you fall asleep before they do. Yep. And then like my husband comes and taps me and I'm like,
I still and, like, do
dribbling.
That.
I do it too, still. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
And I'm like, I've fallen asleep before they have. And it's like, okay, what do I want them to think about? And it's a collection of thoughts and feelings and emotions. And it's kind of top and tail by love. And it's to just get kids talking to you about everything, anything and everything, exactly the same way we just have now, essentially. It's like anything that's even going through their little brains, it's like just talk about it, because I think that's the way you produce a healthy human being. And what we want is we want our kids to be kind and we want them to be happy. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, that's what we all essentially want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Don't think I want that for them, though. They don't think I want them to be happy. It's very strange.
I know, I ruin my kids' lives a lot.
I'm the killer.
But the thing is, it's if you just eat ice cream and you don't learn your time stable, it's not going to be that great. Like, you're literally going to get sick. So it's that thing of,
right,
the more they can talk about their emotions, the more they can deal with other people's emotions, the more they can empathize with other human beings, and the more they can reach their full potential as an adult. And that's what we all want.
That.
Emotional health is super important.
So what is the book called, and where can people find it, for that matter?
It's called The Joy in You. I have a copy here. The Joy in You. And it's the girl who did the illustrations, Rosie Butcher, is incredible. It's really beautiful. And they can get it anywhere on Amazon. Go get it. See what you think. And I love hearing what people think about it too.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that.
I do too. Although I do really want my kids to stop talking as much as they talk a lot of times.
That's usually the thing now at bedtime, is like, just can you just, it's time to settle down. Stop running into each other's rooms. They don't get along all day until the 10 minutes before bedtime. Then suddenly the alliance is so strong.
Oh, yeah.
They just have to be together. And I'm like, this, I know it's bullshit because you guys have been fighting all day. And I know that this is just a reason to get out of it. But then they're so cute together. I'm like,
oh. I know. You don't want to say, I know. And they, when my, like, because there's such a big age difference between mine, when they are like totally bonding and laughing, usually about me. You know, and I'm like, part of me is like, I want to go upstairs and be like, I can hear you guys. Like, yeah. But then I'm also like, nah, it's actually like what they're supposed to do is be like, hey, whatever, mom. And they do, you know, and they do. But oh my God, the little, wait till your kids hit, I think it started at around seven, but certainly by eight, wait till they just like, don't stop talking. I'm telling you, like, you might eat your words about being like, I want kids to talk to me. You might actually be like, how do I make them stop talking now? Because my
100%. I mean, like, my littlest is just starting, so I'm like loving it. But it's the same as when I said to you before, where it's like, I managed to go and have a massage, and for an hour and a half, no one said, Mommy.
It's the Family Guy episode from Stu. That's all I think about when Stewie is standing next to the bed, just going, Mom, Mommy, 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 Mommy,
What? They might as well waterboard you.
Can I have this?
Yeah.
But then someday you will miss. And I know this.
Yes. Oh, well.
Because, you know, now Zoe calls me bro or chief. No, she calls Mescal chief. I am bucko.
Bucko. Bucko.
Yeah. And she doesn't do it disrespectfully. It's just funny and silly. She just, that's my older one. She's like, is that bucko? I'm like, hey, bro. So, you know, there will be some day when you'll miss the little mama.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Absolutely. True.
Although, when they come to the side of your bed, you know, throwing up at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Nobody misses that. We went to Jody and I took our girls to the Women's March. It was so funny because as they were walking, you know, at different points, any of the four of them would be like, "Mom," and I would answer. We both would be like, "What?" Like, but, it wasn't even my kid, you know. And I'm like, "Oh, that one's your. That's your." Right. Like, and especially with the masks on, I was like, "I don't know
who said it or where." Right. Right.
I am a mom. Can I help you?
And the fact, and the fact it's a women's march as well.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It was like, right.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, "Huh? Oh, yeah."
Yeah, right. It was, yeah. They
were what?
Yeah.
But we'll both tell each other's kids to, you know, stop talking to us, or if they're being dicks, be like, you know, knock that kid off. Like,
it's the village. Yeah. You know, it is, it's like you were talking about earlier, being near that village. And, you know, that was what we wanted to create with doing this podcast and with what we've created with our friendship and with so many other moms and friends is that village, you know, of dealing with life stuff, talking through emotions. And, you know, like when they get older and they don't want to talk to me, you know, they talk to my girlfriends, their aunties who are
cool on. Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that really, that's what it's about, you know, is processing all that stuff and dealing with things like death and also joy and fun and, you know.
Yeah. And you know what? That doesn't have to be family. I feel like, and everybody's roles are different. It's the family that you create. It's the family that you want. And sometimes that's your own blood family and sometimes it isn't. And it's that thing of, I feel like it's created through the passage of time, because what happens is you then go through things and that's how you feed each other and you help each other and you have these shared experiences. And I feel it's impossible to hot house as much as you want to. It's impossible. You know, some of my greatest, I mean, how long have you guys known each other for?
It's up for debate, but eight years is what we've known. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's only through that passage of time that I feel like you get to a point where it's like, okay, I'm in my pajamas, bring your kids around and they can eat French fries. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
You get to that stage.
Oh yeah. Celia and I have had many a time when we're like, let's just go shoot the shit upstairs and like close the door and just whatever.
Hey, let them raid the fridge.
And we're
cream on.
Up from my house in my pajamas. Like, she drove in her pajamas and I came out in my pajamas, got in her car and went back to her house, got on the couch, put blankets on us, ordered a bunch of food, and didn't talk to each other. By the way, we just sat.
Yeah, no, just sat in silence.
Yep, and ate dumplings. Like, that's
which
what we
is,
did.
You know what? It's very much like our Thelma and Louise tour that we're gonna do.
Well, I'll be very silent.
You'll be very quiet throughout the whole. It's fine. I'll entertain myself. We know I don't shut the fuck up. So
unless the glue gun gets hot in the lazy regions, then you will not.
That's
you will
true.
Not be quiet.
Things come out.
Although,
when Brad Pitt's knocking on the door, you're like, "Come in!"
Right. You got to marionette me.
I'm gonna say, if you start actually talking while I'm bedazzling you, I'm gonna freak the fuck out. So just know that, please.
Try really hard to come back to life.
Really hard to just not come back at that.
No, that's when I'm gonna work on it. Right then. Right, that, you know what you could do? You could stuff me and make me into a doll, like Little Myrna or Little Murray.
You know what? I could
send me to Israel for my mom. No,
not taxidermy. Taxidermy. That's it.
Excellent.
Just gonna have you standing in the corner. Yeah.
Yeah. Just looking at, you know, and put me different places.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
Sure. Yeah, I'm gonna make you fully like you movable. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Articulated arms and everything. Oh, it's gonna be great. We're gonna have so much fun, Celia.
The worst fucking conversation.
How did we get here?
You know what? Jody did it.
That story of my life.
Jody did it.
And of this podcast. No, this is what we do, Kat. We try and have a serious conversation, and it eventually gets derailed, usually by me making an inappropriate joke. Yeah. And so far, our 7 listeners have been pretty happy with it. So a running joke is that we have 7 listeners to the podcast. I think there's maybe...
That's okay. Lucky number 7.
Yeah.
Yep, there we go. That's it.
You guys, I'm okay with that.
In the interest of not getting into any more strained necromance conversations...
God, that word alone. Blech.
No, I know. Necrophilia. Necromance
is
like...
I know what you said. It's still blah.
Well, calm down. That's just a natural part of life. We just, that's what we turned our whole
I know. And also, you know, I actually want to make sure that you make sure that I'm fucking cremated. That's actually what I want, which is not something that Jews are supposed to do. And just throw me into the urn downstairs with my sister. She was like 90.
No. You will be ashes and gems. You will be
I have on a bunch of jewelry right now that is ashes made from my sister. Yep. That's what that's what she wanted.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's one. And I'm showing my rings for people who can't see their hair. This is all made of her ash. I'm gonna hold it up. That's her ashes.
It's a little round ring.
Yeah, little round ring that I'm holding up that is made of her ash. A girl named Erin makes them. Angelique Designs, and she's amazing. And she's made me three different rings, and each one of her kids has a necklace or a ring or something. My kids too. Friends of hers got stuff. That's what she, I told her that's what we're going to do. She wanted, I also have a tattoo of her writing on my arm that has the ashes in it as well. And she knew all of it. And she was like, oh yeah, great. She was, you know, she liked to be fancy. Like, she was like, oh, fucking great.
Make me into whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't give a shit anymore.
Well, yet another episode of never thought I'd say this with some shit that we never thought we'd say during this episode for sure. But I do want to thank Kat so much. Like, thank you for coming on this ride with us, even though she's probably going to regret all of it.
Never.
But it has been so much fun. And we love your book. Tell people the name of your book again and where they can find it and where they can find you on social media so that they can also follow you.
Okay. It's called The Joy in You. It's on Amazon or anywhere where books are available. And I'm on Kat Delia Instagram and Twitter. Nothing complicated.
I'm finding you right now. Then you can block me.
Yes, that should be the better part. Well, if any of our 7 or 8 listeners want to find us on the interwebs, they can find us on Instagram at Never Thought I'd Say This. Mm-hmm. And they can email us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. You can also find us on our personal Instagrams. Mine is at Jody Sweeten on Instagram and Twitter. And Celia, where can they find you?
Mine is at the Celia Behar. That is not because I have a big ego. It's because there is another fucking Celia Behar. Who would have thunk it? Like, it's not a very common name.
Not as cool. Not as fucking cool.
Yeah, well, you know, she's probably not bejazzled, but whatever.
Sure.
I'm going to get bejazzled.
Other Celia Behar. That should be her Instagram handle, is at the other Celia Behar.
Right. Yeah, of course. Of course.
I mean, anyway, Kat, it has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Celia, it's been all right, as usual. and remember, everybody out there listening to Never Thought I'd Say This, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.